crawling from the rafters they are. No, not at all. That's why we did this. It's a party. Come on. All right, everybody, my name's Jeremy. If I missed you earlier, very thankful to be here with you this morning. I'm the pastor here and very much just sitting, taking this moment in right now, just massively grateful. Massively grateful that this church exists, massively grateful that this community of Creve Hall exists that we love and want to see Jesus glorified here. So we're going to attempt to do that in the next 10 minutes or so. Kids, I'm going to need your help. Kids, eyes on me real quick. Eyes on me. 1, 2, 3. I don't know how this kids ministry thing goes. Okay, kids, raise your hand if you made a snowman. Solid. Raise your hand if you made an ornament. Excellent. Raise your hand if you've made a mess. Solid. Great. Okay, kids, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read a little bit out of the book of, who knows what book we're in right now? Yell it out loud. Ruth. You got it. Okay, so to get everybody in the mindset of Ruth, I want to ask for some help. Okay, I need some kids to tell me. I'm going to come to you. You don't come to me, okay? You raise your hand. Tell me, what is your favorite Disney movie? Okay, raise your hand if you got one. Favorite Disney movie? Yes.
Super Kitties.
Super Kitties. I haven't seen that one, but it's going to be a hit.
Inside Out.
Oh, solid. Way to go. Boom. Who else?
Sing.
Sing. Oh, also good.
Chicken Nuggets.
Chicken Nuggets. That's not even a movie. But we've got a couple of great movie ideas so far. Who's going to make the Chicken Nuggets movie?
Home Alone.
Solid. I love these answers. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Huh? What, you got one?
Frozen.
Winner! Winner! Sorry, that everybody's a winner. But that's going to be my illustration in a minute. Okay.
Bluey.
Solid. Man, there's so much creativity in this room. A couple more.
Descendants,
okay.
Free Guy.
Alice in Wonderland.
Man, these are deep cuts. Like, I'm expecting, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. Anybody? Old school? I guess I'm just too old. Okay, couple more.
Sing 2,
yep, sequel. Very good. Okay, last one.
Elsa.
Yeah. Brought it all the way back to Frozen. This is perfect. Okay. Who remembers the story of Frozen? Okay. So there are these two sisters. What are their names? Here, hop down for a minute. And I want you to knock over the candles. Come here, Sal, tell me. What are the two characters, main characters' names?
Olaf.
Solid choice. There are two girls and their sisters. What are their names?
Anna and Elsa.
Yes, Anna and Elsa, right? Okay, so Anna and Elsa, what are they?
Sisters.
So they are sisters, okay? And what's the problem? One of them has special powers. What's their special power?
Ice,
baby. Okay, so that creates a problem, doesn't it? And the problem is that Elsa is all of a sudden, everyone's afraid of her. And so they put her where?
In the castle.
They put her in the castle. And they shut the gates. And they say nobody else can see Elsa because she's too dangerous. Okay. And then her sister's name, which is?
Anna.
Come up here. Do you mind coming up here for a minute? Can everybody see what's on this amazing little girl's PJs? Anna and Elsa, everybody. There it is. Way to go. What's your name?
Lennon.
Way to go. That's incredible. Okay, so here's how this goes. Anna wants to help her sister. So what does Anna do? Elsa runs away, and she builds her own castle of ice. All right? She sings the song. She does the whole thing. Let it go. Here we are. And then she tries to do it her own way. And then what does Anna do? Anna comes and tries to rescue her. But what happens to her as she's in the process of getting rescued? Oh, she gets a
frozen heart.
A frozen heart. And then they spend the rest of the movie trying to save Anna from her frozen heart. And what's the quote? What is it that can thaw a frozen heart? Anybody?
Love.
An act of true love can thaw a frozen heart, right? He knows what it's about. He got my coffee. Now, do you think that an act of true love, what they thought, is that an act of true love would be what?
A kiss.
A kiss. Is that actually what the act of true love was?
Yeah.
No. What? Plot twist. What is the actual news or the actual act of true love?
A hug?
No, although Olaf does like warm hugs. Does anybody know? What is the act of true love?
Being nice to each other.
Close. Closer. What happens at the very end of the movie?
Anna and Elsa, they like become like more like of not only like sisters, but more friends, so like friendship.
Because what does Anna do for Elsa?
Oh.
Who remembers?
No.
No?
Saves her life.
Saves her life! Way to go. Right? Because only an act of true love can thaw a frozen heart. And what is that act? Self. Sacrifice. She stands in front of the sword as it's coming down from that mean old prince. She stands in the way and she freezes. But in freezing, she stops the sword. And then what happens? The sword breaks. Anna wakes up. Elsa wakes up. And everybody lives what? Happily ever after.
Happily ever after.
There we go. Okay. All right, kids, take a big step back. Head back to your places. Way to go. Way to go. We're about to read another story. We're about to read another story very similar to what we just heard told by all these amazing kids. So I'm going to get down, and you are too. And then Miss Donna is going to come up, and she is going to read a little snippet out of Ruth chapter 2. All right, ready? Let's hop off.
Ruth chapter 1, starting with verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young men, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is that?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she had continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." The word of the Lord.
In case you're wondering, there's only one point to today's sermon. Okay? This is another story of two women, in this case, a father or a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, Naomi and Ruth. Naomi has gone through just an awful time in her life. Her husband has died, her two sons have died, and now what's left for her? Pretty much nothing. And in that nothing, in that dead space, in walks another person, another woman, and her name is Ruth. Ruth is to us, and Boaz is to Ruth, an example, the exemplar of what true love really is. Because what did we say true love was? Self-sacrifice. Everybody say, true love is? You got it. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. That's your one point. One point sermon. True love is? You got it. So we're going to look at three little snippets of the Ruth and Naomi and Boaz's story, and then we're going to sing some more carols. Okay? Here's the first little snippet. Naomi is bitter. Who knows what it means to be bitter? Show me on your face what it means to be bitter. Yeah. Scowl, grin. What would be some words that would describe what it is to feel bitter? What would be some emotions? Yell them out. Sad. What else? Resentful. What else? Angry. What else? Yeah, you're just stuck in your feels. You're just sullen and angry and blah. When you're in that place, are you very fun to be around? Like when you're at your house and you're in one of those bitter, angry moods, do other people in your house kind of back up away from you? But if true love is self-sacrifice, then when someone is feeling bitter, what should you do? Move towards. True love is self-sacrifice, and self-sacrifice move towards, and that's what Ruth does. Ruth moves towards Naomi. Does Ruth get any sort of high five, attaboy, hug, accomplishment, encouragement, or anything from Naomi? No, she gets nothing. Literally, Ruth says, "I'll go with you anywhere, Naomi," and Naomi goes, "Eh," and then walks back to Bethlehem with Ruth following her. Ruth is trying to care for her mother-in-law, but her mother-in-law does not care for her. So when someone doesn't care for you, does that change the way that you relate to them? Not in this kind of love. Not in self-sacrificial love. What's a place that you feel bitter right now? Everybody, real quick, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Kids too. What's a place that you feel bitter, angry, sullen, frowny face? What's a place that you feel like God isn't listening, has abandoned you, is not close to you? Feel that for just a minute. What would it look like? You can open your eyes. When you feel like that, do you feel like having someone else close to you? You're like, get away from me. I just want to feel what I want to feel. Naomi's feeling all of that. Get away from me. And yet here comes Ruth, self-sacrificially moving towards her mother-in-law. That's the first point. True love is self-sacrifice, and self-sacrifice pursues. Okay? Second little snippet. So Ruth pursues Naomi. Now, what does Ruth do? Did anybody see, where does Ruth go? They get to Bethlehem, and then where does Ruth go? Anybody? Hand, adult, you can do this one too. Where does Ruth go? Does she sit at home twiddling her thumbs? What does she do? She follows Naomi and goes to the?
Grain field.
Goes to the grain field. Why would she go to a grain field? Because she's what? She's hungry. And in that time, you could go to the edge of the fields and take what you needed. It was a part of, it was like food stamps today. It was a way to care for the poor and the needy. And Naomi was poor and needy. And Ruth was poor and needy. And we tend to think about these as being big moments. True love is self-sacrifice. So we think about like big moments in your life. Like you step in front of a bus and push your friend out of the way. But most times, true love just looks like meeting small needs. This is going to be a risk. Kids, somebody tell me a small need that you have. Anybody? What's a need that you have right now?
Mommy.
Do you need more pancakes?
Any more pancakes.
Need more pancakes. Anybody need anything? Anybody else? Oh, Sal, what do you need?
More pancakes.
More, yep. Okay, well, good. I think we've got the pancakes covered. You can head right over there. Whatever that need is that you have, yell it out. What's your need? Hot chocolate also? Yes, there's hot chocolate in the back. Did y'all know this? Hot chocolate in the back. Very good. Whatever those needs are, as small as they are, true love, being self-sacrifice, looks like meeting those really teeny needs. That's point two. We're almost done. Last one. True love moves towards. True love meets needs. Last little snippet. Ruth is walking out in the grain fields, and she's maybe wondering, she's alone. She's exposed. She has nothing. She has no friends. This is like, kids, have you ever been the new kid at school? Raise your hand if you've been the new kid at school. Do you feel nervous when you're the new kid at school? Do you feel exposed when you're the new kid at school? Do you worry that anybody will ever like you when you're the new kid at school? Ruth is the new kid at school, and she walks into this new town where everyone's already looking at her kind of weird because she's an outsider. She wasn't welcome. She didn't belong in this place. And yet there's one man who sees and knows and cares for her, and his name is? Boaz, you got it. Third little moment, Ruth and Boaz. Boaz, he's kind of like, have you seen Beauty and the Beast? No one walks like Gaston, no one talks. He kind of reminds me of Gaston, but not conceited, not arrogant. But he walks in, and he's like this larger-than-life, he's exuding generosity to everyone around him, and he sees Ruth. And he does the first two things. He pursues, he moves towards her. He self-sacrifices by giving up his time and his mental space and all the busyness. This is harvest. This is like when your work is the busiest and you stop and you take care of some insignificant, seemingly insignificant person. Anybody like the band Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors? He has a song that goes like this. It's called Another Man's Shoes. Everyone's got its own set of... That was supposed to be a little better. Troubles. Everyone's got their own set of blues. Everyone's got their own set of struggles. Walk a mile what? In another man's shoes. Boaz walks a mile in Ruth's shoes. And he thinks, what must it be like to be her? Third way that true love works, it thinks inside the head of someone else. It walks a mile in their shoes. It thinks about how would this person like to be loved and moves towards them in that way. And what is the power that we have to do this? Is this just a, okay, everybody, there's your 3 points. Now, great story, Pastor. How in the world do I go back into my life and do that? Somebody tell me what we're doing here. Who, person's name, are we celebrating today? What's his name? Yell it out real loud. You got it. We are celebrating Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. But did God stay up and away from us? Or did he see needs? Did he move towards? Did he actually walk in our shoes by becoming like us? By becoming a man like us? That's what we celebrate. We don't have a God who's really far away. We don't have a God who has no idea what we're going through. We have a God who has walked a mile in our shoes, and we celebrate him coming to earth and walking a mile in our shoes and walking so many miles such that he would even die for us, making our most important need possible, relationship with God. And so wherever you are today, whatever the struggle is, whatever place of bitterness that you have, you can trust in Jesus today to be the one who meets the needs that you have, who sees you, who knows how you feel because he's felt it, who has walked a mile in your shoes and empowers you to that kind of love, that self-sacrificial, moving towards self-sacrificial kind of love. Can we pray? Let's pray. Kiddos, can you close your eyes real quick? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that that is your kind of love for us. Thank you that you have hidden in so many stories, even in Frozen, you have hidden the glorious story of the gospel of grace for us. And so would we celebrate you, Jesus, today? Would we celebrate your coming? Would this community be for each other what that community was for Ruth? Would we come around each other? Would we see each other? Would we meet each other's needs so much so that this gospel would go out to the outer reaches of Creve Hall, to the outer reaches of Nashville, and to the outer reaches of this world? We pray this in your loving, gracious, holy, wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.